Let the church say amen. Church say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. God bless you, saints. God keep you is our prayer. We're going to invite our children to prepare for dismissal for their youth church experience. And then we will move into our adult worship hour. All right. Bless the Lord. So we're going to invite all of our saints to stand and turn in their Bibles with us to the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. The first chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. And as we turn there, I want to start reading in verse number 18. Verse number 18. We're grateful to the Lord for all that has transpired in the worship experience thus far. The prayer, the praise, and now the proclamation. Say amen. We've located the text. This Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18 reads as follows. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was written, spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify, may it sanctify the people of God. Would that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon, God's in front. God is in front. And that continues actually one more segment of this series, Satan, Get Thee Behind. So if Satan's behind, God is in front. And that's what I want us to continue to focus on today's sermon. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that your word would not return void, but that it indeed will accomplish that which you intended for it to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged today. May minds be illuminated today. May souls be convicted today. I ask, O God, that you would let your anointing continue to flow in this place. For we know that it is the anointing that breaks the yoke and the bondage. And so now, Lord, have your way, that you indeed would be glorified and magnified, and that the people of God would be edified and sanctified. We love you, we bless you, we glorify and we magnify you. And it is in the name of Jesus, our Christ, that we do pray. That all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Ushers, you too may be seated. Unbeknownst to me, but in God's divine plan, we want to continue in one more series, if you would, or segment in this series of Satan, Get Thee Behind. We've been talking about over the last 6-7 weeks these negative human emotions that I believe Satan uses as tools to control us and to derail us, dissuade us, and discourage us. And so these issues of worry and doubt, I've talked about them, I've showed them to you on the screen. Worry and doubt and fear and anxiety, jealousy and envy, anger and revenge. And I added one last week, which is discrimination, how the enemy uses different things about us to discriminate against one another. And so these aspects, these negative human emotions, if you would, many of you have said to me, Pastor, I've appreciated the series because it has helped either me deal with some of my own issues, or it has helped me be able to talk to my son or my daughter about some issues that they're going through, issues of anxiety and worry, right? One dad came to me and said, the sermon series helped me to talk to my son about what it means to wait on God and not be anxious while you're looking for employment and some other things to break through in your life. And so I say to God be the glory if indeed we are being met where all of us are. I pray that every Sunday we come in here, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to all of us at different points, and what is a significant point to you may not be a significant point to your neighbor, but I pray that everybody leaves here with a significant point based on the Word of God. Amen, somebody. And so these issues of negative human emotions, which is my own phrase, if you would, have been and can be juxtaposed and compared with these other 7 deadly sins that the Bible actually refers to many of them in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Psalms. It is not made up. It is from where early church fathers looked into the Word of God and began to glean and discern that there are certain aspects of human character that are detracting away from God's will and God's Spirit. And so many of these that are listed both biblically and talked about philosophically are these 7 deadly sins. Pride. You've heard the scripture, pride goes before the fall. Greed, gluttony, wrath, which I've translated into anger. Lust, which I've translated into jealousy. You lust after someone or something. Envy can be translated into jealousy in many respects. And then sloth, which many theologians have simply interpreted as laziness or the inability to move deeper into one's Christian walk because of either fear or anxiety or doubt or worry. And so whether it's the 7 deadly sins or whether it's these other negative, quote unquote, negative human emotions, I believe all of us wrestle with these things, because to be human is to wrestle with our flesh, and to be in the flesh is to wrestle with these very things. And so until God calls all of us home, all of us will wrestle with these negative human traits, negative human emotions. You may say to yourself, well, I'm not a prideful, arrogant person, to God be the glory, but maybe your issue is slothfulness spiritually. You're not ready to move off the dime that God has had you to move on. You've been in the same place at the same time, doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Under any other definition, that's called insanity, right? And so the reality is your issue may not be pride, but it might be slothfulness. Yours may not be slothfulness, but it might be anger. If yours is not anger, it might be envy. You've got so much focus on what other folk have, you can't appreciate what God has done for you. Amen, somebody. And so all of us, right, wrestle with these things. And more often, it is some combination of these things. And yet, I believe that the quest of being sanctified, purified, reformed, conformed into the image of God is to allow God to pluck these things out of our spirits. And so that you then become more conformed to the image of Almighty God, that you are able to hear more closely, more intimately what it is that God wants for you and where it is God is leading you, and what are the decisions that need to be made in order order for you to stay on the road that leads to our God. Amen, somebody. At the end of the day, that's all you ought to want, is to be with God on the other side of glory. All this other stuff is secondary, is tertiary, is unnecessary in truth. Because at the end of the day, as long as I am on the road that leads to God, everything else does not matter. I want to be with Jesus. When it's all said and done, I want to be with Jesus on the other side of glory. And I pray that that is all of our prayers. And you've got to get to a point in your spiritual life where you say, I'm not going to let nothing turn me around. I'm going to keep on marching. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on praising. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on standing. I'm going to keep on worshiping. I'm not going to let the enemy turn me around, because I've come too far by faith. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Come too far now to turn around. Don't want to go back to the flesh pots of Egypt. Don't want to go back into my captivity. Don't want to go back into my bondage. The Lord has brought me too far. And if I look back over my life and just think things over, all of us can truly say that we've been changed. We all have a testimony, because the Lord has been good to all of us in this place. And so it is my prayer that we all would reflect on ourselves. Listen, coming to the end of another year, after the presents have been unwrapped, the paper been thrown away, the tree's been taken down, the lights have been taken out, you've got to start looking forward to what 2014 has to offer. But the fact of the matter is, as long as you know that he who got you through 2013 is the same God that's brought you to this point, then you can look expectantly into 2014 and say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know if I got you on my side, everything is going to be all right. And so, beloved, I end this series with this iteration of the sermon. I want to talk about Joseph, because in truth, I believe it is a great story of how Joseph wrestled with some of these negative human emotions. Listen, you have your wife tell you that she's pregnant and you have not known her. You're going to wrestle with some negative human emotions. Parents can help translate that for the children later. Amen, somebody. Joseph had to deal with some of his stuff in order to hear from God and to arrive at a point where the prophecy would be fulfilled. And so today I want to end this sermon series by these three statements. I want to charge all of us to stop thinking, to start listening, and to start doing. Stop thinking, because we can be our own worst enemy. Stop thinking. Stop listening to your mind. Start listening to God. And once you listen to God, start acting upon that which God has told you to do. Joseph is the quintessential example of somebody who thought about it, who then had to stop and listen to God, and after he listened to God, had to act upon that which God had called him to do. And if he had not done or kept doing any of those three things, maybe, just maybe, the prophecy would have not been fulfilled. Maybe, just maybe, we would not have had the baby Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, there would be no death on the cross. Maybe, just maybe, there would be no blood that has redeemed us. Maybe, just maybe, there would be no Resurrection Sunday. Maybe, just maybe, we would all be on a straight path to destruction and damnation. But I'm so glad Joseph thought about it. And I'm so glad Joseph listened to God. And I'm so glad Joseph did what God commanded him to do. Look at the text. The text starts off in verse number 18 with these words: Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Now we want to talk. We've talked about his genealogy. Let's talk about his birth. Now the birth of Jesus was this. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Before they came together, before they had relationships, before they were betrothed, she was soon to be his wife. But before they came together, the scripture says that she was impregnated. She was found with child, not of Joseph, but by the Holy Spirit. That is why we call it the Immaculate Conception. That is why Mary has her great Annunciation, her Magnificat, right? The Lord has spoken to her, has told her. But here's the challenge. The Lord has not yet spoken to Joseph. He's spoken to her, but has not spoken to Joseph about what's to happen. And so therefore, Joseph and Mary, before they were had relations, she was with child of the Holy Spirit. Which brings me to my first point. Joseph, in verse number 19, says, then Joseph, her husband, I want you to catch this. Then Joseph, her husband, there's some interesting dilemma between whether they were officially married or not yet married, whether they were betrothed. We look at the text. It says that they were betrothed. But here in verse number 19, the text calls Joseph her husband. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. And there's that word I want you to think about, mind. I want you to think about mindfulness. I want you to understand that mindfulness is muse. Is in Greek, the word is muse. And so this word muse, we use the word amusement when we talk about amusement parks. Point of fact, amusement parks are those places, in Greek, which means without. An amusement park is without. Muse, mind, a place where you go where you don't have to think about things. They are mindless places. We go to Orlando, we go to California, we go, my family and I, we go to Williamsburg, we go to all of these amusement parks, and they're fun, they're this, they're that, the kids love the roller coasters, but in point of fact, they're amusement parks. They're not there to build your mind up, they're there to speak to your fun, your viscerality, this notion of just not thinking about the day. And so therefore, there's a difference between that which is amusing and that which is recreational. And I began to say a long time ago, we need to be more mindful of building those things with our children that are recreational, that recreate them, as opposed to doing things that are mindless. Another sermon on another day. But mind in this text, in verse number 19, says that Joseph was minded to put her away. Now here's the point. Often our mind is separated from our spirit. Often our mind is separated from our heart. In point of fact, in Greek literature, in Greek philosophy, they make a great thing about mind-body dualism. So that you can then think one thing and do another. And in point of fact, God does not want us to be dualistic in our nature. God wants us to be unified. God wants us to have that which is our mind is also of our heart. That which is of our heart is also of our mind. And that which is of our mind and heart is anchored in our soul, so that when you think about it, you feel it, and you reflect upon it in your spirit, all of it is unified, because you're not listening to yourself, you're listening to God. In Hebrew, the word heart and mind is levav, L-E-V-A-V. They mean the same word. And so therefore, when Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy mind. It means that your heart and your mind is unified in how you live your life, so that when people see your walk, they don't hear you saying one thing and doing another. Let me help somebody out. You need to be unified in your witness to the world so that when people see you, they say, oh, that's Deacon so-and-so. And he's not a deacon because of what's in front of his name. He's a deacon because of how he walks. There goes Deaconess so-and-so. She's not a deaconess because of what's in front of her name. She's a deaconess because she's a woman of God. Oh, there goes Brother so-and-so. I know how his character is. There goes Sister so-and-so. I know how they're at. Stop all that gossip. They don't gossip when they come around. When people know your essential character, if you're around a bunch of gossip, you got to ask yourself, do people respect the God in me enough to change the way they act when I come around? And if they're so free to gossip around you, maybe, just maybe, it's because you are participating in the gossip. Whereas God wants our essential character to be of such that when folks see us, hear us, there's a unity of how we are. And here's where our mind gets in our way sometimes. Sometimes when you think about a situation too long, you will find yourself paralyzed by analysis. There's a phrase that says the paralysis of analysis. So many of us find ourselves in decision-making positions, and we think about it, we think about it, we think about it. Our mind is getting in our way, where at some point God is saying, I want you to start walking in it and stop thinking about it. If you think about it long enough, you will find every excuse not to do something. Look at Moses. God said, Moses, go to Pharaoh. Well, God, I can't speak well. Well, God, I don't have enough of this. God said, stop worrying about every deficiency you have. I'll make accommodation for you. Every drawback you have, I'll step in and I'll help you. But at the end of the day, are you going to do what I told you to do? Are you going to go where I told you to go? And are you going to say what I told you to say? So many of us, our own worst enemies, because we are thinking about it too much and not doing what God has called us to do. The Bible says Joseph had a mind to put her away. You can put yourself in his shoes. He's thinking about this thing. He says, I have not known my wife, but she is with child. This thing doesn't make sense. Maybe his spiritual walk wasn't as deep as Mary's was. But the fact of the matter was, God had not yet come to Joseph. So he was still operating in his humanity. Thinking about it. Thinking about it. Stuff on our jobs. We think about it too much. We're so educated. Got so many degrees behind our name. We think about it so much. We've got so much experience. We think about it so much. Listen, do your due diligence. Do your background. Do your homework. But at the end of the day, you've got to decide, for Christ I live or for Christ I die. I'm going to go ahead and take this step. I don't care what they think about me. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what they do to me. I'm going to go ahead and step out. Thinking about it. Verse 19 says he had a mind to put her away. And if you look further in verse number 20, it goes on and says, Joseph, by while he thought about these things. But while he thought about these things, here's the intersection. While I'm thinking, God is moving. Come on, somebody. While I'm stuck in my thought process, in my decision analysis, in my cost-benefit analysis, God is busy moving. While I'm still here looking at everything around me, God is up there about to break something open. While I'm still down here stuck in my process, God is about to break open. While he thought about it, the Bible says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Point number two. Point number one, stop thinking. Point number two is start listening. And some of us are so hard-headed and so hard-hearted, the only way God can get us to start listening is to stop us in our tracks. Joseph had to be put to sleep in order for him to then realize what God is trying to say to him. Has anybody ever been spoken to God by God in a dream? Has anybody, I believe God speaks in many different ways. He speaks through scripture. He speaks through the circumstances. He speaks through the word of God preached on a Sunday morning. Some of y'all come in here and you hear a word from the Lord that helps you with your situation. But I also believe he speaks through dreams. And I like the fact that Joseph had to be laid down to sleep. Because if we keep on doing what we're doing, we get so busy, we don't have time to listen to God. And every now and again, God's gonna stop us in our tracks. Every now and again, he's gotta shake up your life. Every now and again, he's gotta remind you that he is God and above him there is no other. Every now and again. Anybody ever been the recipient of an every now and again experience? Everything was going all right, all of a sudden something's going on in your chest. Had to get rushed to the hospital because God has to slow you down to remind you that I am God and above me there is no other. Anybody ever been there? Everything was going all right and the boss calls you into his office and you get a pink slip on your desk and you're reminded, oh my God, what am I going to? Every now and again, God's got to remind you he is in control. Everything's going all right, Sister Yvonne. Lay your purse down. All of a sudden, it's not there anymore. Gotta go cancel every credit card. Every now and again, gotta remind you, don't rely on the credit card. I will supply all of your needs according to my riches. Should I keep going? Every now and again. Something goes on in your marriage. Every now and again, something goes on with your children. Every now and again, something goes on in your body. Every now. God's got to slow us down in order for you to get an ear to what he's trying to say. Joseph had to be laid down to sleep. And while he was sleeping, the angel of the Lord appeared. Now he can hear from God and stop listening to himself. And the Bible says in the text, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's what Joseph received in his dream. And I don't know about you, but there have been moments when I've had sleep, and there is such a clarity, because my mind isn't busy running 100 miles an hour. I can hear from God in a way while I'm sleeping, because God now has an uninhibited pathway, not only to my mind, but also to my heart. Come on, somebody. And how many of you know that when you're hearing from God and you shown up, know that the Lord has spoken to you. When you wake up in the morning, there's a certain resolve that you've come to the conclusion that I'm going to step out on faith. I'm going to listen to what God told me to do. I know what I thought about yesterday. I know the decision I made yesterday, but the Lord has spoken to me today. And when I wake up in the morning, when I get up off this hospital bed, when I get out of this job, when I get out of this situation, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. I'm going to lean not to my own understanding, but in all of my ways, I'm going to believe in God. I'm going to trust in him. When I get up from this situation. I'm going to trust in the Lord like I've never trusted in Him before. I'm going to stand on His word like I've never stood on it before. I'm going to praise Him like I lost my mind. I'm going to give Him all the glory because I've stopped listening to myself and I started listening to God. Joseph was able to hear from God in his sleep like he was never able to hear from God while he was awake. And so the Bible says in verse 22, so all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Immanuel, which is a compound Hebrew phrase. Im is Hebrew word for with. Manu is the Hebrew word for us. And El is the Hebrew word for God. And so even though the angel told Joseph to name his baby Jesus, Yeshua, which in Hebrew means deliverer or savior. Here's the point. The prophet had already spoken that the baby shall come forth and his name shall remind you that no matter what you go through, God is right there with me. You're not getting that message, are you? See, I've come to a conclusion that as long as the Lord is on my side, the devil's got some power, but God's got all power. The devil's got a little bit of influence, but God's got all the influence. The devil got a few demons, but God's got legions of angels. You're not getting the message, are you? As long as the Lord is on my side, the devil may knock me down, but God will pick me back up again. The devil may slow me down, but God will pull me through. The devil may knock me down, but God will push me up. You're not getting the message, are you? I'm going to celebrate, y'all, that his name is Immanuel. If you're not with me, God is with me. If you're not on my side, God is on my side. If you don't want to be my friend, God is a friend. If you don't want to be my buddy, God is my buddy. Come on, somebody. God is. God is with you. That's powerful news. When everybody else is gone, turn their back on you. I still got the Lord on my side. Call his name, Immanuel. Now that Joseph has stopped listening to himself, started listening to God. How many of you know there's a difference between listening and doing? Yeah, that's called parenting. Melanie and I conclude, or they may hear it, but are they going to do what we tell them to do? And they're getting to that point where we'll say, Maris, Daniel, did you hear us? They say, yeah, mama, dad, I heard you. And then they might get in trouble the next step. Well, if you heard me, why aren't you doing what I told you to do? There's a difference between hearing and doing. And the Bible says in verse number 24, I don't want you to miss this now. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. And I just stopped by to remind somebody on this 22nd day of December that God is not only speaking to somebody today, but that God wants you to get up from where you are and start walking in your blessing. Listen to my point now. Mary and Joseph were betrothed, but at some point, I do believe they got married. And so Mary was his wife. At some point, Joseph thought about it and said, I can put her away, because you can break the engagement off and have no problem. But when you're married, it's a whole nother situation. And so Joseph said, if I put her away secretly, it won't embarrass her. It won't overly intrude into our situation. But I'm so glad Joseph listened to God, because what the angel of the Lord told him to do was not just marry her. The Bible says, I believe he'd already done that. He said, take your wife. Your wife is already there. Take her and bring her closer to you. You're not getting the message, are you? God has already spoken something into your existence. God has already manifested your blessing. But you've got to now get up from where you are. Pick up your blessing and start walking. You're not getting it. Walking in your blessing. Some of us want to praise God after we get the breakthrough. But I've come to a conclusion, y'all, that I've got to pick up my praise and start praising him even before my breakthrough happens. I've got to start walking in my blessing. I've got to start speaking those things as if they were already happening. I've got to start telling myself, self, you are more than a conqueror. Self, you can do this thing. Self, you can get through this thing. Self, God will pick you up, turn you around. Self, God will place your feet on solid ground. Pick up your blessing, pick up your praise, and start doing what the Lord has called us to do. He was already married. Pick your wife and let the prophecy be fulfilled. I love the reality that God's got a blessing waiting for us. But in order to get there, you've got to start walking in it right now. Don't wait till the battle is over to bless him. I gotta bless him right now. There's a contemporary gospel song that says, I'ma praise him in the middle of it. I'ma praise him right now. I don't know what 2014 holds, but I'ma praise him right now. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'ma praise him right now. I don't know what the next hour holds, but I'ma praise him right now. And my praise will continue to be in my mouth. And I believe as I praise the Lord, he'll open doors. As I praise the Lord, he'll build bridges. As I praise the Lord, he'll move mountains. As I praise the Lord, he'll pick me up. As I praise the Lord. Joseph had to decide. Now that he stopped listening to himself, start listening to God. Is he going to do what God told him to do? I believe that's the decision all of us have. I don't know what your circumstances are, what your situation is. Stop listening to yourself. Let God speak. And after God has spoken, I want you to get up, push everything back, push everybody back, and start walking so that the prophecy will be fulfilled. God's got a blessing for everybody. You've got to just go out and get it. Reach up and grab it. Start walking in it.
in the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody say amen, amen, and amen. You've got a praise offering in this place. Deacons and deaconess and clergy. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. On this second to the last Sunday in December, second to the last Sunday of the year, if the Lord has spoken to somebody, I want you to step out of your seat today. Some folk have been coming, visiting, and God is saying, I want you to unite. I want you to formalize the relationship with this church. Because you're unchurched right now. You believe, but you're unchurched. God is saying, I want you to be among a formal commitment. I want you to make a commitment to the body of Christ. Dating is over now. Been dating us for a little while. God is saying, I want you to make a commitment. If that's you today, you know that's you, I want you to come on out of your seat. If you know the Lord is saying, I want you to join this body of faith, I want you to step out of your seat, come on down the aisle, give us your hand and give God your heart. If the Lord is speaking to you today, if that's you, you don't have a church home. Church doesn't make you a Christian. Christians make the church. So if you don't have a church, I want you to become a part of this body of faith. The most important invitation is not membership, it's relationship. Look at God today. Look at God today. Come on, saints, give God a praise offering.